Welcome to another edition of Countermeasures. It's the Friday night edition, another Friday night edition. We just love doing a Friday night. I'm Bruce Nixon.
Greg Rath here.
Hey, it's Nixon and Rath on Countermeasures. We're live on Anchor FM. Another great day in the Valley of the Sun, wouldn't you say, my friend?
It was beautiful today.
Now,
beautiful.
We've had a week off. We've done a lot of discussions. We've got a lot of topics. Last week, we set the stage. We really want to continue to build a culture of fans and friends that meet and can get together for an action plan to help change things. Today, it's almost overwhelming, I think, if we think about it in terms of...
Right. Money.
Money. We wanted to start, because last week we told you we'd jump in at the state level. We want to start unpacking the state of Arizona, right? Because the federal government is an overlay, but we want to start unpacking the state of Arizona. And Greg, you've done some great research so far. We've got the actual budget of Arizona in front of us, right?
Yeah, it's about 70 pages long, and that's the
short version.
That's the short version. If you want to go line, I haven't had a chance to go through 571 pages yet.
All right, so for our listeners this week, what it means is we want to set the stage to find out what the difference is between what is actually done here in the state, why the federal government does what they do, what the federal government constitutionally is mandated to do, and how that relates to you and I here in the state. So maybe a great place to start today, Greg, is what is the total proposed annual budget for fiscal year 21?
Well, there's kind of two. There's taxes in-state, and then there's the total money, including transfers from the feds. So,
okay, but what is the big number?
$40 billion.
So you're telling me, and we're collectively telling our friends who are listening, the state of Arizona in fiscal year ending 2021 will spend in the neighborhood of $40 billion.
Yes, sir.
Okay. And I think that's interesting because how many people live here in the state? Is it close to six?
About, I think it was like 6.6.
Yeah.
Almost 7 million.
Right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But, I mean, that's a big, not a giant number compared to other states.
Right.
My neighbors to the west, about 50 million people
right.
live in California.
Right.
Bigger than New Mexico, bigger than Utah. I get that.
Right.
But if you divided that number, if we had a calculator, if you did 6.5 million people divided by, you know, into $40 billion, that's a lot of money.
It's a lot of money.
So should they just pay us directly and we take care of ourselves?
I don't think we're capable of doing that.
I thank
God we have the government to help us.
It's an excellent point. All right. So for the sake of argument, we've looked at the numbers. You specifically have looked at the numbers. How much money does the state of Arizona approximately collect in taxes?
Well, let me
just
scroll back
up.
About 12 or 13 billion bucks.
All right, so if we do the math, we're 28 billion short. You know, if we collect 12 and we had 40, then we're about 28 billion short. Are we borrowing that money?
Well, no, it's first of all, it's our money to begin with. It came out of our pockets and bounced over to the feds, and the feds transfer, you know, a percentage back. That's the hard part is
deciphering that.
Where in the hell does that money come from? How does it get justified? How do they justify? Because I remember reading that we are like the percentage-wise, I believe we're the fifth or sixth largest, which is cool if you're getting money back, but not necessarily in dollars. So percentage, and so I still cannot wrap my head around, because you know you got to be an accountant, and I'm looking at the.
It's plain
the
language
short,
you're looking at. Right?
Yeah, I'm looking at so trying to wrap your head around this, wrap your head around $40 billion. I mean,
okay,
that's gigantic.
Let's break it down this way just for the sake of conversation.
Right.
You work, obviously, for the Phoenix Police Department. You're married with children. Do you owe taxes every year?
Well, I – no.
I mean,
well,
yes.
Yes
or no.
Yeah, yeah, I do.
So you pay some state income tax?
Sure.
Okay. But you also pay a little bit of federal income tax.
Sure.
All right. Now, that's one source of revenue that the state has, income tax, right?
Right.
And there's various brackets, and we understand that. I run a small business, Lipo Coffee. I collect 8.6% tax across the board between the state, the county, and the city.
Right.
About 2.3% of all my sales tax goes directly to the state. The rest is collected, given to the state, and then reapportioned back to the county, the city, which is very interesting because we'll get to that. That's how the feds do it too.
Right.
Now, apart from that, we've got property taxes, but my understanding is that's collected by the county. Does the county pay a stipend back to the state?
I have no idea.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Right. So we only have a certain amount of sources.
Which tax were we talking about again? Which
property tax directly? It's owed to the county, right?
Well, it says property taxes, and I'm not under the 2021 budget. I don't know if there are separate city property taxes and county property taxes, but it does.
Well, we know that we pay property taxes to the county, right? You pay to Maricopa County. I do too. But what I'm saying is the state must have an apportionment that they levy against the county to get that back. It's not adumbrated here or explained here.
Right.
But I'm saying that's the only way around it, right? But in your mind's eye, for the sake of conversation, where else does money come from?
Well, you've also got, and it's called other revenues, licenses and fees.
Okay,
and
so you got
interest earnings, lottery.
You do your car. You have a wheel tax here in Arizona.
Well, the biggest one is charges for services, $5 billion out of that $14 billion. Where the hell does that come from?
I'm not sure.
So I don't know.
What services?
That's more. More than what we collect. We collect total taxes. We collect estimated for 2021 is $3.7 billion.
Okay.
That's the taxes collected. That's what they're calling taxes according to this. But then the other under the other revenues, which is the majority of that $14 billion, is, and that's just taxes. That's not what's coming from the feds. That is, you know, $5 billion for charges, and I mean it's an ungodly amount of money.
Somewhere in the 70 pages, it may have a detail about that.
Yeah, other revenues.
We haven't gotten there yet,
Other revenues are $10 billion.
What can we imagine that might be if you're charging someone for services?
Oh, it could be anything.
What does the state do? Snow plowing? Do they charge counties to snow plow? I mean, does the state run all that? Highway maintenance.
I don't know. Highway maintenance. I'm just saying, cutting down, trimming
forests.
Sure.
I mean, you could imagine these are things, that they must levy back to a county.
Well, building permits, all this kind of stuff.
Right.
Yeah,
right, absolutely. But that's more localized, right? You pay, here in Phoenix, we pay permit and planning to the city of Phoenix. And maybe they're overlaid to the state. All I'm saying is we're scratching the surface. And we've been at this all week.
Good Lord.
And you can't really get down in here other than to get to the nugget of what we're saying is we spend much more money than could be plausibly collected. Here in the state.
Right. I mean, if you're talking about taxes spent or taxes that we collect, okay. But then we also are talking about the other $25 billion that come in from the feds that who knows where that comes from.
Well, that's precisely my point.
Right.
Okay, so we're going to get to that in a second. But here in Arizona, there's not enough people, not enough revenue to collect $40 billion to run a state.
Well, all right? Maybe there is. Maybe how much money did we pay in taxes to the feds that comes back? We're not getting it all back.
No, and that's an interesting point. But let's talk about that when we break it down. Corporations pay very little taxes. We know that.
Right.
Because most of them are sheltered.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Sure.
Individuals, like let's say my category. I'm married. I have a ton of kids. I still have three at home.
They know what causes that, by the way.
No TV. Well, you know, as a good Irish Catholic boy, I must populate the earth.
Well, somebody's got to do it.
It's a mandate. All right. No, but seriously, though, if you look at it in that sense, what we've got is a situation where you just don't have enough people, right, to collect that revenue. As a married man with kids at home,
right,
running a single member LLC, filing my taxes, this is another story unto itself, but since forever, since I've had seven children and they've all lived at home at one point or another, it's like the federal government has paid me to have kids with earned income credits and tax credits. I don't make any money because small businesses should run on a balanced budget. Plus, I have kids at home. So each year, I can expect to receive a check from the feds between $5,000 and
$8,000. Gosh, that's awesome.
Right?
Good for you.
Well, good insofar as I'm a family man and the money goes a long way to help the family.
Sure.
Bad because the federal government is the seven-headed hydra that's out of control.
Right.
And it seems foolish to, I could say no. No, my wife would kill me. But you know what I mean. What I'm getting at is, in this budget, we magically collect $12 billion here in the state.
Right.
We have a $28 billion deficit, which, according to this 70-page document, is augmented from the federal government and sources that are anonymous at this point, right?
Right.
Now, it sets a stage for what we talked about all week and what we just finished talking about before, during our chalk talk before the show. The federal government has no money of its own.
Of its own.
Right? Would you agree?
Yeah, it's us. It belongs to me, you.
Every citizen in the United States contributes. Under the Constitution, the federal government has the right to raise taxes.
Correct.
Okay. Now, we could get into a long, long discussion about who started income tax, what income tax really is, and is it owed. It's not germane to this discussion. But that alone is insufficient to run the federal government, let alone do a number of things. Now, the government has five mandates under the Constitution. Interstate commerce, foreign commerce, border security, armed forces, and this fifth one, which is kind of where we are in this seaweed, provide for the common good. Can you see how that would lend itself to a big, wide-open interpretation?
Sure.
Providing for the common good. Every Democrat on the face of the earth that's wanted to spend money could say, we're only trying to provide for the common good. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Sorry about that. So in that sense, we have $28 billion coming back from the feds or other anonymous sources. In just your cursory review this week of this budget, anything glaring sticking out at you, like big surprises?
Well, you know, from the government, no, nothing surprises me. It just, like I tell you, we spent a fortune on education. There's no doubt about
that. What's the line item for education in the state of Arizona?
Oh God,
like 1.5 billion or something like that, or bigger.
I think it's like 6.6 billion.
All right, 6.6 billion. So let's call it half the monies collected in the state of Arizona in total would go back to running education. Have you thought about what public education really is in the state of Arizona? I mean, just for the sake of conversation, would it be your...
Brainwashing? Oh, I'm sorry. I don't mean...
But, I mean, if you had, let's say, we were to hit the reset button, would you want your children to have reading, writing, and arithmetic? Perhaps a little music program, perhaps some sports? Would that be enough for you?
Yeah, absolutely. That's what it's supposed to be.
All right. And instead, we have
sex education.
We have social engineering of every kind. We have hot meals, full day kindergartens, hot lunches, hot afternoon programs, lunches, dinners.
All day kindergarten. After school. It's, you know, the womb to tomb nanny state.
Right. I mean, I think that's a short way to punctuate it, but that's what we're talking about.
Right.
So the state participates in that, and it's a good time to say, look, we understand what the feds do, but I'm hoping that someone will comment on the program and it knows more than we do, which is probably easy to do. But the federal government collects fuel tax, right?
Right.
For highways? Have you ever read, like, at the gas pump what that says? It's like 27 cents a gallon or something.
I think it's like 36 or 42 cents, isn't it? Something like that.
Well,
something
crazy. It's a big number, right?
Right.
I wonder, do we get all that back? I've read a paper that says for every dollar of fuel tax we send back to the feds, we get a nickel in return. So if we send $1 million, we get $5,000 back or $50,000 back, whatever that is.
Right.
I'm a broadcaster, not a mathematician, so don't hold it against me.
Put your toes away.
I will. What else you got there?
I'm just looking at the education budget right now, and it's
talk to us.
$6.6 billion. Fiscal year 2021 executive budget figure grows from $4.5 billion last year to $6.6 billion this year. 2021 executive budget.
So that's a $2.1 billion
increase. 58% of new discretionary spending, or $500 million for K-12 and higher education. I mean, it's lots of money. It's lots of money. And again, not to beat a dead horse, but that goes back to our thoughts from our first show, where we talk about family and the responsibilities of that. Well, I'll tell you, being a police officer, you can throw all the money you want at kids, education, crime, homelessness, all that kind of stuff, but that's not the root. I understand why people do that, because you feel sorry for somebody that's homeless. You feel sorry for kids that aren't getting taken care of. The 15, 18,000 kids that are in foster. I totally get that. But the root cause, and we can't legislate morals, right? Because...
Well, they say we can't. Even though, if you ask the philosophers, the purpose of government is to make a moral people. But that notwithstanding,
right?
You get the common argument that you can't.
Yeah, the common. Yeah, if you, yeah, my mom, a teacher. One of the biggest gripes she has is, you know, I want to teach, but if you don't bring me a fed, clothed, loved child, I spend more of my time, you know, counseling the kid. And that's not that the kid doesn't deserve that. I totally get that. I mean, a kid, we talked about this. Kids are gifted from God. But how much money can you throw at it before you realize, you know, this is just not working? And I get it. I mean, I would imagine the people that go into government at the beginning, they're like, okay, let's do wonderful things. Let's do great things. We got lots of money. We're rich, wealthy country. I get it. Hell, that's why everybody wants to come here. And that's another program.
Yeah, we're working on this, actually. You're tuned to Countermeasures with Nixon and Rath. It's Friday night. We're in the bunker. If you're tuned in at another day and time, thanks for joining us. We're going to get after this immigration thing. We're probably going to take a road trip. We're going to talk to people. We're going to get after it because it's a big thing here in the state of Arizona. But on the heels of that, tonight we're talking about the budget for the state of Arizona. If you just tuned in, it's a $40 billion budget. Right now we're trying to unpack a little bit of the $6.6 billion
education budget,
right? Just on the surface of things, that's a solid 15% of the budget, and that's an educated guess,
right?
But a solid 15% of the budget, right? And what you're getting at here is the nature of the problem, and we can't say this enough: the people, the family, the communities, the churches, the nonprofits are the people and their own responsibility, right? And from the beginning of our fledgling republic, we've had people who believe that they are smarter, they're more kind, they're more generous, and they like to spend other people's money. We call them Democrats, and they've been there from the very beginning, right? That you, if you're listening tonight and you're on any kind of state subsidy, whether it be SNAP, Access, you go down the list of things. God love you.
But I'm paying for it.
Well, not just that, but the government believes you to be stupid and incapable. And that's why they push the programs in perpetuity, right? I think, Greg, you would agree. A just nation, a just community could say, we can put together a safety net for 6 to 8 weeks for anybody that falls through the crack.
Well, can you
imagine? A one-off.
Well,
right? Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. And you hit it on the head. There are people out there, I see them every single day, that are legit issues with their family.
Right.
And let's, a great example, I had a gal, husband loses his job because he's injured. Okay. You know, you can't plan for every contingency. I mean, if you did, we wouldn't need the government, right? So that net's there. But can you imagine how well we could take care of somebody if the other stuff wasn't abused? That's the kicker.
Right.
That's the kicker.
That's what we're dialing into here is that if we could create a Phoenix, a Maricopa County, an Arizona, where safety nets were part of a just society, but they weren't provided in perpetuity, I think then we have the ability to segregate things and say, we're not going to have generational welfare.
Right.
We're not going to have generational free housing.
Right.
We're not going to let transients run free because, to me, that's the worst violation of their dignity than doing something else to them because we treat them like animals. My point is there's too much going on. The government has too much on its plate. There's no way that you can do everything because they oughtn't be doing everything.
Right. It's none of their business, frankly. And, you know, playing the devil's advocate, let's say I was a selfish, evil right winger. I don't want to pay for all that. I did it right. I was raised correctly. And again, and I'm not taking anything away from people that were victims of horrible circumstances.
Absolutely not.
But there's got to be a better way. There's got to be a happy medium. And again, we just threw an extra $2.1 billion at education. But I bet you $10 that, you know, yeah, we're paying teachers more, which I got no problems with. But what about all the free stuff that goes along with it? Hillary Clinton, you know, made comments years ago about how it's the state's job to raise your
it
kids.
It takes a village, was her favorite.
No, it doesn't take a village. It takes a family.
Right. And I think we can hone in on that by saying a few things to amplify your point. Number one, it's an individual's responsibility, their family's responsibility, their small community, their church, whatever responsibility.
Stop it.
Right? That's, I mean, that's
evil.
What it is.
Evil.
No.
I know.
But when you say you don't want to pay for everybody, legitimately, if you go to, you know, what a general election, we call it a ballot initiative, but in the old Greek and Roman expression, it's plebiscite. You put it out to the people. I'll give you a classic example where I'm going with this. If you said in Phoenix proper, we want a ballot initiative, a plebiscite, people of Phoenix vote up and down. Do you want to provide housing and food assistance for the 8 weeks period for people who fall through the cracks? Put it out to the people, up or down vote. And it fails. That's it. It failed. But what happens is you get people in power who believe they know way better than you, way better than me, way better than the people that actually put them in power.
You mean these people that live in the gated communities?
Those people. And then make shit up.
Yeah.
They literally make it up. Oh, yeah. Well, we have to do this. So you have 10 people in a room that decide for the... How many people in Phoenix we have? 3.5-4 million people?
About that.
All right. So for these 10 people in a room, make decisions for 4 million people arbitrarily.
Ridiculous.
When it comes to that kind of thing. Now, do I want to be involved in the day-to-day... like policies for the police department? No. But do I want to say yes or no to
my budget?
Not just your budget, but perpetually paying for food, shelter, and clothing for everybody and their uncle, including people who have politically asylumed themselves or illegally immigrated to the United States, which we do right now.
Yeah.
Here in this county.
Sure. Do it all over the country. No.
I'm just saying, well, right here, do we want to do that?
I don't.
But nobody's asking us.
Well, it's none of your business. You're not smart enough.
Well, I guess that's where we're going.
Right.
So the federal government has no money that, unless they collect it from the states.
Right.
We have $28 billion in the state that God only knows where it comes from.
Somewhere in the feds.
We've been reading this now all week, and there's nothing readily apparent.
No. You know, like the funds, the extra $10 billion in our budget that comes from fees and stuff like that. Who knows where that is? I cannot wait to drill down in that. I cannot wait.
We'd love to find somebody that works in the state. If you know anybody, you want to tune in, send us in the description. There'll be a voicemail link under countermeasures where you can leave us an actual voicemail. We'll collect it after the program is published. So
I think we also need to touch base on Anchor. I think if you go to anchor.com,
right.
I think you need to download that app, and then you can search on us. If you search... If you go to anchor.com online, it'll ask you to up a membership and that sort of thing. Then you can get to our countermeasures. I was messing with that with a buddy of mine.
Okay, you can't just Google.
Sorry, I'm new at this. I've never even talked on a podcast before. I can't even spell it, much less how to figure it out. But
yeah, that's fine.
Yeah. So, but anyways.
Well, googly-woogly countermeasures on anchor.fm.
Right.
And follow the prompts. In the show description, when you get there, there is a link for a voicemail. You can leave us a message.
Please.
We'd love to hear from you because this stuff is really bizarre. It makes great conversations.
Well, it's fascinating, too, because you don't – we kind of go – and this is kind of the tactic of our government. We go about our daily lives. We work our butts off. We do all our stuff. And they go about representing us. Well, you know
– and that's okay to a degree.
Absolutely. But then when you start drilling down in this, you're like – holy cow, look at this money.
Yeah, and I want to say this for the record. Everybody in the United States, in this republic, was supposed to be elected to office to do what is right. And we had a baseline for that a long time ago. It was called Christianity.
But Stop it.
Now that that's out the window.
That's the C word.
How can you say something is right? What's right for me, maybe not right for you. Well, two things are true. One, I refuse to live in a dictatorship of relativism. And B... it violates the principle of non-contradiction. A thing cannot be and not be at the same time. Even in quantum mechanics, it's still imperceptibly not the same. So don't go there. Don't go quantum on me, people.
I like that. We should coin that. Don't go quantum on me.
Yeah.
Don't quantum me, man.
On the back, it'll say, don't tase me, bro.
No, I wasn't saying that. That's horrible. Horrible.
All right. Well, it is. But you see where I'm going with this? But we don't have that luxury anymore. Right? Even today, we had a very robust discussion around this budget and what the federal government does and what we ought to do and what we think is good and what we think is not good. You know, when we went off into imperialism and colonization and the policy of preemption. And that's the kind of stuff that's prudential.
Right.
But we don't have the same baseline, right? Well, we don't have necessarily the same thing. So when you get into city government here in Phoenix, you got, let's just say you got an atheist, a Jew, a Catholic, and a Protestant.
Sounds like a good joke.
Right. Is there a bar involved?
All we need is a goat and a midget.
This is the NC-17 version of the program.
You know, and I tell you, you hit on something really interesting with regards to, you know, I think about the money that's spent on these programs. One of the things that I don't see is leverage. And what I mean by leverage is the money that we give, and that's what we're doing. We're giving, we're allocating, we're giving money away to whatever it may be.
Right.
There is no leverage, whether it be food stamps or homeless, whatever. There's no leverage. We're not, there's no carrot. There's no earn. You're not earning this money. It's free.
No quid pro.
And then all of a sudden, and here's the kicker. This is how, and I'll say the D word, Democrats, this is how they stay in power. If I can pass a law, or if I can give half of the voting population, I'm not half the voters, but half the people that are voting something for free, will they ever vote me out of office? Not a damn.
That's a really big perception that has its grounding in fact. Think of the Obama era where there was.
Good God.
Right? There's a national program under Medicaid. It became known as Obamaphone, right? You could get a free cell phone with free cell phone service. It's still in existence today.
Yeah.
It's a Medicaid program.
Right.
And so people can get prescriptions and notifications.
Sure.
But it became known as the Obamaphone because. Right. They kind of made it popular, right?
Right.
And you could still do it now under anybody. But the point being, did you know you can get a free federally sponsored cell phone?
Well, yeah, I know because I read. But
you know what I'm saying, right?
Right,
I mean,
sure.
That's pretty amazing.
That's stupid.
But
that's
I'm the just dumbest, saying, it's amazing.
But why?
Because the pharmacy has to be able to call you.
Well, why don't you call them? Oh, wait a minute. We don't have pay phones.
Right. There's no pay phones. No free calls anymore.
Apple be proud.
Right. But you know what I'm saying.
Sure.
It's gotten to that point.
Why would you, you look at the money that they're spending on the federal government, sending out all these checks to people, you know,
the
stimulus checks. Well, we're printing money to pay that because, you know, we don't have any extra. So somehow, somewhere, some down 2,000 years down the road, we're going to pay that off.
Right. But there's clickety-click on the keyboard for that money, right?
Right. And so I guess my question is, what are we getting back for our money? We should be.
Used to be like a sheriff's war program, right? For certain offenses, you'd have to work it off.
Sure.
Is that still true?
I don't know. I have no idea.
But
I doubt it.
That used to be the thing?
Yeah, you know. And
I don't mean
what happened. But what happened? Here's the other. What happened to self-respect? We're going back to the family again. It used to be embarrassing to be on welfare. It used to be embarrassing. You remember when...
But you owe me, Greg.
Stop it.
No, you owe me.
I owe you?
You owe me because...
That's right.
You are, in fact, the quintessential Mighty Whitey, and you owe me in every respect. And I think that's where the culture is. And I don't care really what your culture... I mean, what your color is. I'm speaking to everybody listening. I don't care what your color is because it doesn't matter to us on the show. But there is that undercurrent that... Those in power, and call it Mighty Whitey, call it the man, everybody, oh, I got to work for the man, I got to do this, I got to do that, right? That somehow there's an owed thing, because let's look at you, just an example. You're a police lieutenant.
Right.
Done very well, nearly 30 years of service to the city.
Right.
People can look at you and say you owe them something, because you have stuff that they don't, but that's where we are.
Right.
Right. Right. And it's, I don't want to nut it
but
down.
Then they, but the kicker is... They'll make you feel guilty. They'll guilt you into it. And so they'll make you feel sorry. What do? They get you to feel sorry for kids, old people, and safety so they can raise your taxes. And, you know, so it's a Ponzi scheme. It really is. And I guess I remember when, you know, we didn't have very much money when I was growing up. I remember mom cutting coupons, but We don't want that to do. We don't want people to feel bad. So what do? We don't give you a book of food stamps. God forbid you do that in front of people because we don't want to embarrass you. You get a Visa card. So, and great story.
I mean, albeit it has a cactus on it.
But no, I'll give you a for instance. I was standing in line. Beautiful young lady, got a kid, very, very well-dressed, beautiful manicure, both up in feet and hands, and, you know, got an iPhone in her back pocket, and beautiful, just...
Paying with a snap card.
Paying with a snap card. And I'm like...
But it's none of your business.
I mean, yes, it is, because it's my money.
No, it's not.
Sure it is.
And that's the problem.
Right.
Right? Because they've built this
wall.
And
you know what? And if you say anything, you may be a racist.
You're a bigot.
You're a bigot. You hate people. You hate women. You hate kids. Whatever.
And now we've circled.
And then we scare you. We scare you with your job.
Right.
They scare you with ostracization.
Right.
You know, and they single you out.
No, that's literally true. You could lose your job in any corporate work environment or small business environment.
If you go against the grain.
Yeah, absolutely. Circling back to Phoenix proper, I think Phoenix has done a halfway decent job of trying to make their meetings public, at least on television. You can go to meetings, right? I mean, it's difficult to go to these public hearings because
you're right in the middle of the day.
Oh,
stop it.
Right?
Only people that don't work go to these meetings that are probably retired, I bet.
Well, I have read from those close to the source that it's the same handful of people at most of the meetings. But that's
are those the people that can't get out of jury duty?
Probably the same people. But you know what I'm saying.
Sure.
But at least there's an effort to make things public, is
right.
What I'm saying.
Right.
A lot of jurisdictions, I don't know if that's true.
Don't know.
I have no idea. But there's no way to really participate in our form of government here in Phoenix unless you don't have a job. I guess is what I'm saying.
Right.
And I think they're counting on that.
Oh, of course. Of course.
Unless you're a professional politician, a lobbyist.
You bet. And you're being paid to do that.
To be there. Absolutely. You're not participating. So you take that to the county level. And, you know, the county's in some hot water from doing some things in this last election cycle that we won't get into tonight. But we're hoping we continue to do research. And if you just tune in, it's Countermeasures. This is Nixon and Rath. I'm Nixon. He's Rath. And we're really trying to get at the heart of the Arizona budget. We just started the top of the program with a $40 billion state budget, Greg. I mean, that's kind of mind-numbing. As a state point, we have 6.5 million people.
Well, and on the flip side, how exciting is it that we have a country that's so successful that we have that amount of money available to us? But
well,
how cool
I
would
guess
it?
Maybe that's the misnomer, right?
Yeah.
I'm coming from the vantage point that there is no such thing as $28 billion from the feds.
Probably not, because
it's a keyboard.
Right.
Clickety clack on the keyboard, you've magically got money.
Right.
Which I disagree with.
Right.
Right, because there's no forensic accountant listening to this program. There probably isn't enough years in their life to explain where this money comes from. Would you agree with that?
I agree. And I looked up what are the five powers of Congress we were talking about.
Well,
so it says power to declare war,
right.
Coin money, raise an army, establish rules of immigration, naturalization, and establish
secure the border.
Right, federal courts in their jurisdictions. Where does it say that they can hold you over a barrel on money spent on education or on
highways?
Highways. I guess, well, regulate commerce part of that? I don't know.
It is, and they do say that.
But regulate, you know what, commerce, though? You know that they tag that. You know, if you don't lower your speed limit, we're not going to give you the $100 million that we promised or whatever.
We're both old enough to remember that.
Yeah.
When the drinking age was 18, they wanted to be 21. They withheld taxes until you changed it to 20.
Right. That's baloney.
In 1986.
It's none of their business. Yeah.
When we were younger, they said, if you don't have a seatbelt law, you won't get highway funds.
Right.
Same thing. Insurance companies liked it. I mean, it is a safety thing. I'm not complaining. I'm just saying the federal mandate to me was over the top.
Absolutely. The federal government should have had no business with that.
They tried it again in the 90s with helmet laws for motorcyclists.
Right.
Which failed miserably.
Right.
But the idea that the federal government has supremacy is probably going to have to be 6, 7, 8 weeks down the road. We get unpack Abraham Lincoln, because you can't really go sideways, left, right, or center without the federal government claiming supremacy, which is bad.
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 So it's a teaser for some future show, but I'm a fan of Calvin Coolidge is our greatest president, and I'll say it for the record, Abraham Lincoln is our worst president. Nothing to do with slavery, but federal supremacy. The idea that You can't do anything outside of the purview of the federal government. It's not American. It was never intended to be that way from my vantage point. I think I can prove it. The state's rights issues all the way down from, you get to the nitty-gritty of abortion, assisted suicide, go right down the line where people in most states would be like, no. Where all these things were once prohibited, the federal government said, well, we decided this Texas case is now the law of the land. Judicial activism at its finest, right?
Right.
In the same way, we fought a big war over Dred Scott, right?
Sure.
The slave that was a slave in Kansas but freed in North Dakota, or vice versa, and came back to Missouri, and it led to a civil war.
Sure.
Even though he was property.
Right.
Law of the land.
Law of the land.
Anyway. $40 billion in the state of Arizona, $12 billion or so we collect here. That's a lot of money, right? We get it from a variety of sources. I still think we'd have to do a serious forensic accounting of where, in fact, that money comes from. Jeez. $28 billion ostensibly from the federal government. I don't know. To me, I'm kind of blown away. That's a lot of money.
How long? I wonder how long it would take to, if you were making $100,000 a year, to save $1 billion, much less $40 billion. Well, that's just, yeah, I can't even wrap my.
We meant to talk about that, right? The $5,000 a day for a year, you're a millionaire, and $5,000 a day for 365 years or something until you're a billionaire. 365 years, that is.
Right.
Not days. Isn't that crazy?
I can't wrap my hand around that.
No.
I cannot.
I'm lucky to have a $20 bill in my pocket. I still have kids at home.
Yeah, they'll rob you blind, won't they?
They continue to do so. Well, we love you all. You know, we're very happy to have children.
Mm.
So here in the state, we send all that money on education, but if you wanted to look at other large programs, I'm sure HHS, Health and Human Services, in the form of, I don't know, the state Medicaid reimbursements. Is there any line item that you've come across to support immigration enforcement from the state level? Because it's not necessarily a federal issue.
No.
Nothing.
I mean.
Is there a law enforcement budget at all?
Yeah, there is law enforcement stuff in there, and it's predominantly to DPS and operations and extra bodies and stuff like that, and more DUI checkpoints and that sort of thing, which I support because, you know, that's direct impact to actual safety at the state level on the freeways. There's actually quite a bit of money that's being spent on wrong way drivers, cameras, special infrared cameras and stuff like that, which I didn't know about. That's actually a good thing, because I've been out on several of those, and those are about as horrible as you'll ever see, as somebody going head on.
Is
with
it
somebody.
Just more awareness, or do you think there's just more and more wrong way drivers?
You know, I don't know. You know, I've talked about that. I have a lot of people come up and ask me. He goes, you know, with regards to DUI and inattentive drivers, it's hard to prove an inattentive driver. I mean, if I would imagine it's far exceeds DUI, because everybody's got a phone in their car. So crashes, like rear-ending crashes and inattention crashes, I would imagine have a lot to do with, you know, with that kind of stuff.
But specifically wrong-way drivers.
Wrong-way drivers?
I mean, have you noticed an uptick? It just seems
Absolutely. I mean, you know, it obviously, because, you know, the Arizona budget is specifically talking about it. I'm trying to find that page where they talk about it. And again, I think it's good. I mean, public safety, that's, you know, defending the border, public
safety.
Something
we can all agree on.
Right. Right. Absolutely.
And people might get the wrong idea that we don't support public education. Of course we do. But to the extent that it's become a nanny institution, from my vantage point, disadvantages families because parents are
Can I give you a absolute fantastic tip?
Absolutely.
Become friends, drinking buddies with the principal, and you'll get what you want. And I say that tongue in cheek.
Okay, I'll be right back.
Right, right. No, I was good friends with, you know, a couple of the principals, and again, the squeaky wheel gets the grease. If they see that you are interested in your child and you take, you know, legitimate steps, they will bend over backwards for you, because I think as human beings, they understand that they're part of that nanny state. If you talk to them, they'll tell you. Now, there are some screaming liberals that think that, you know, they should be in charge of your, you know, 10-year-old sex education. Those are wackos. Those are people that, you know, you can't even reason with. I'm talking about the normal guys and gals that have families, they have kids of their own. They'll tell you that some of this stuff is just nonsense. So my suggestion to you, if you really want, you know, if you really want some progress, or you just got to be involved.
But it goes back to what you originally stated, which I concur. Parents are the first educators.
Yep. And
the parents are involved in these things. It's less nanny than it is, right?
Right.
And what you've got is a culture so broken where kids just are literally latchkey kids sent down to get on the bus,
yep,
dropped off and forgotten about until 4 o'clock.
Yep.
Because mom and dad have to work, which is a topic for another show. Guys can't be guys and provide for their family. And I don't mean to imply that women shouldn't work. I'm saying they shouldn't have to work. Like, a mom should be able to raise her own kids if she has the opportunity to.
Well, but you know what? You're going back to that same thing of, you know, what's more important, the amount of money? I can tell you that I lived in a 1,400-square-foot house for the first 15 years of my marriage and life so we could have mom stay home. And she worked part-time and stuff like that. And, you know, my job's sunsetting, and she's now doing her thing in career and getting that satisfaction. But we knew that those children were a choice that we made. It wasn't an accident. It was planned. And anybody that says otherwise is a fool, in my opinion. If you, and I get things are going to happen, and I'm, but the kids are a gift from God. They're not responsible. I will tell you today, I found a newborn disposed, dead, on the side of the road today. And you can look it up on the internet. That is an extreme version of what we're talking about. But is that any different than not paying attention to your kids and not raising your kids correctly, not feeding them correctly, not being home, not playing soccer with them? I'm not asking to be perfect. But I tell you what, when I was working second shift, third shift, weekends, you know what I did? So I could get time with my kids because I love my kids. You can go, you can verify this. You can go talk to the principals and anything. I went and volunteered at their school. I played football with them at recess. I ate with them every single day because it wasn't their choice to be here and because I love my children. I'm not perfect. I'm not saying that. But that's your responsibility. That is your responsibility. It is not my responsibility to do that for your children. It's not the state's responsibility to raise your children. It is your responsibility to raise your children.
But you're way out of bounds, sir.
Oh, I know.
You know, clearly you didn't get the memo.
Yep.
It's really...
You want to get me, you want to get me to fight? You want to get me to fight?
Your kids are my kids, yep. Really. And we know way better than you, sir. But you're just a policeman.
I'm
what
glad you're
you
talking
know?
Right now because I'm getting infuriated when I think about that shit.
Now, we've been to... off and on, you know, discussing things, having coffee and whatnot all day. I'm really sorry to hear about the newborn kid.
That was horrible. That?
Where was that?
That was over in, it was along the I-17 corridor about Peoria. And I don't know, you know, the detectives came out, obviously handled that. It was treated as a homicide and that sort of thing. And
just terrible.
It's horrible. But you know what?
Another 3,000 kids across America were cut apart and thrown away today, too.
You know what?
And
I mean,
and
the only difference between those is this one was maybe a couple hours older in
right.
some states.
Right.
But this is murder. That's not.
Well, not yet. We have a lot more to talk about. It's countermeasures with Nixon and Rath, and it's Anchor FM. Look in the description after you download everything. Be sure to send us a little voicemail clip through the application on your phone or your laptop. We've only got a few minutes left. These little encounters go too quickly, I know. If you just tuned in at the end of the program, we're talking about a $40 billion state of Arizona budget, about $12 billion supposedly raised by the state, another $28 billion from outside sources, including the federal government. We've discovered that there's $6.6 billion going to schools this year, and that's a very gigantic number, almost 15% of the budget. Plus, the state charges $5 billion in fees to unknown persons, and that's a mystery to us, too. I don't know what they're charging people to do, but apparently we get $5 billion in fees that we charge somebody somewhere. somehow. We're not sure what that is. And what's the governor's salary again?
I have no idea.
It doesn't really matter.
It's a drop in the bucket compared to $40 billion.
Funny you should mention it that way. I was going to say it's time to drop a deucey.
Jesus. Really? Of course you did.
Well, you know, you set me up. It was a softball pitch.
Yeah, I did. You knocked that one out of the park, though.
You can kiss that one goodbye. All right. Well, anyway, so, you know, it's one of those nights where you get frustrated because had we only the money and time, like 25 years to get a forensic accounting in here, we could tell you more about the details of this budget. Needless to say, we're going to eventually find out where this federal money comes from. We have reached the conclusion, we both concur, that the federal government on its own has no money. Yes?
Yeah, it's mine.
Well, right.
Ours.
I mean, it's our money.
Yeah, it's mine.
Somehow we voluntarily give it to the federal government.
They took it from us. They took it.
But I want to know, I want to ask Nancy Pelosi and the others on Capitol Hill, how many keystrokes does it take to get to the Tootsie Roll Center? I mean, how much is too much? I read yesterday, Greg, there are $27 trillion in printed money in circulation.
Say that one more time.
$27 trillion in printed currency in circulation in the United States right now.
Okay.
Of which 25% of that money was printed this year.
Jesus. That's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money. Now, I'm talking about real cash currency.
Right. Dollars in hand.
Dollars in hand. I also read yesterday that of that $27 trillion, 25% of it minted this year, 30% of all the cash on hand is controlled by 1% of the population. And it has really, that's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money.
Right? And this is leveraged, pardon me, by the Democrats in charge that say that it's unfair that so few people have control of all this money. And you can see the sense of injustice in my eyes as I tell you this, right? That 1% of the people have 30% of the currency. Really? I mean, does that really matter? Does it matter? Does that give the federal government right to raise more money, to give more money away to people who don't have money?
Sure it does.
How much more printing can we do?
As long as, if you're running three shifts.
Well, the mints could run 24 hours a day is what you're saying. They would never print enough money in their eyes.
No.
There was a proposal on the table a few weeks ago from the Democrats to print a $100 bill for every live birth.
How many live births a day?
I don't know. There's something like 6,000 live births a day or something like
that. That's nothing.
But I mean, every single day.
Right.
Printing another $100 bill, right?
Right.
Just to continue, just for whatever reason, printing $100 bills.
I think it's a great idea. Maybe I should
have
more
kids. I need some $100 bills.
Well, you should get 8 of them for the kids you've got.
7. Paula, there's not an 8th child. I don't know what he's talking about.
What I heard. is that the one in the basement?
We don't let Earl out. Don't talk about her that way. Stop it now.
Her name is Earl?
Wait a minute.
Where's the banjo music?
Wait a minute. Pass the Vaseline.
Jesus. We'll edit that one out.
Okay.
Beep.
Dun-na. Have you anything else to say, lad, before we wrap up tonight's $40 billion program?
What are we going
to
talk about next week? We're going to keep going on with this or, you know.
I'd like to have a few more line items about this, but I really want to spend some more time teasing the immigration field trip.
Teaser.
Right? We really want to do that because we know what the budget is. We don't know anything about what they're spending on law enforcement at the border. But one of the key issues facing the state of Arizona, I do believe someone among us, you, have been to the border, met with people down at the border in recent history. We want to revisit that and talk about those real-world experiences. We'll take our Walkman with us and take some man-on-the-street quotes, maybe not this week, but next week. And for next Friday, we can do some more details about this, but also just talk about how the state works. I mean, we were going to try to do that tonight, but we didn't get to it. But what is the state? How does it run? How does the county interface with
the
state? I like
that. I think we should talk about
it. How does a city operate? Is it beholden to the county? Is it beholden to the state or both? And so on and so forth. I think that's a good show because
sure.
We all need to know what we're talking about if we're going to change things, right?
Absolutely, and we're learning. We're learning.
We chief among us, right?
Yeah, we're learning as we go, and that's why we're doing this. We're not professors. Right. We're not professing to be. But I tell you what, I'm smart enough to know when the checkbook doesn't balance.
Exactly right, and we want to have these great conversations of consequence, so we can excite people to take part. Leave us those messages. We hope
say that again. Say that again.
Conversations of consequence.
That is hot.
Well, you are
right.
So right. talking about the things that matter most, right?
Right.
And, we're just glad you tuned in tonight.
Thank you.
No, thanks for being here. No,
yeah.
Thank you.
And hopefully, you guys that are listening, and I really think we're doing much better on our presentation. We're trying to be as professional as we can, and I can't wait to listen to this rerun of this compared to that. I think I didn't say one time tonight. I've been really working on that. So I apologize if I stutter at all and sound like Porky Pig. But that's all, folks.
So, mechanically.
How are we doing?
I think we're doing okay.
I think so.
And, a few weeks from now, if you...
I'll be doing it in Spanish.
Por ejemplo. All right. Well, say goodnight, Greg.
Good night, Greg.
All right. For all of us here at the Countermeasure Studios, high atop the Lord's Last Citadel in the bunker of Peoria, we'll say goodnight and God bless.
Amen. Take care.
Bye-bye.